in the global media, ya, they write Turkish defense firm by Carl Inc. deal to build drone factory in Indonesia. This is we have to bold underline for this cooperation. In, as we know, war in the global affairs right now is something to do with most of unmanned war. Drone is something to do with unmanned war. In the Ukraine war, drone from Turkey is very famous to counter. To counter Russian attack military.
Presiden Recep Tayyip Erdogan met with Presiden Prabowo Subianto on Wednesday in Bogor Presidential Palace, West Java. Both leaders discussed efforts to enhance cooperation, including in the defense sector. During the meeting, the two leaders discussed the importance of developing a roadmap to enhance defense industry cooperation between the two countries, foster both countries' national defense ecosystems, and strengthen bilateral collaboration in high-tech industries through mutually beneficial projects. Both leaders also agreed to expand collaboration beyond procurement and welcome the establishment of a joint venture and representative offices for Turkey's primary defense industry firms in Indonesia. With the completion of the construction of the Nusantara Capital Authority Office, all staff of the authority will move to the IKN Nusantara Capital City in March 2025. Dora Parede has the report.
Head of the Nusantara Capital Authority, Basuki Hadimulyono, revealed that the construction of the authority office will be completed by the end of February. This was conveyed by Basuki Hadimulyono in a working meeting with Commission 2 of the House of Representatives in Jakarta Wednesday. Basuki Hadimulyono explained that with the completion of the construction of the Nusantara Capital Authority office, as of March 2025, all activities and staff members of the authority will be moved to the Nusantara Capital City.
Kami akan programkan.
We'll program all activities of the Nusantara Capital Authority to be done in the Nusantara Capital City. All members of the staff are the authority who have been working in three places, Jakarta, Balikpapan, and Nusantara. With the completion of the office as of March, we'll move all of them there.
Kami pindahkan semua ke sana.
Basuki Hadimulyono further explained that the transfer of activities and staff of the Nusantara Capital Authority to Nusantara Capital City was carried out so that they could focus more on the construction of the Nusantara Capital City. According to Basuki, the staff of Nusantara Capital Authority will later live in 4 apartments that have been constructed.
The head of Nusantara Capital City Authority, Basuki Hadimulyono, said there would be investment ready to enter Nusantara Capital City. Ranov has the detail.
The head of the Nusantara Capital City Authority, Basuki Hadimulyono, in the meeting with the Indonesian House of Representatives in Jakarta on Wednesday, stated that from 2025 to 2028, there will be pure private investment and state-owned enterprises funding amounting to 6.49 trillion rupiah.
2025-2028, there is a pure private and state-owned investment of 6.49 trillion rupiah, consisting of Surabaya State University, PT Makmur Berkah Hotel, which is a 5-star hotel, PT Citadel from Malaysia for townhouses and mixed use, and PT Fitka Deli Food, Sederhana Padang Restaurant, then PT Puri Persada Lampung, office building. So this is what we have just processed until the final, until January. This will definitely continue to add.
Furthermore, Nusantara Capital City Authority is currently processing 6 public-private partnership projects with a total value of 6093 trillion rupiah. Basuki said that President Prabowo Subianto has approved a budget of 48.8 trillion rupiah for the 2025 until 2029 period. Basuki explained that this budget will be allocated to complete the construction of legislative and judicial complexes, along with supporting ecosystem in order to establish Nusantara as the political capital of Indonesia by 2028. Ranoff reporting for Voice of Indonesia.
This news comes to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesia has engaged in 17 agreements on migrant workers in 2024. Rama Sidki Pratama has more details.
The Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs claimed that Indonesia has engaged in 17 bilateral agreements in 2024, as said by its official Yuda Nugraha during a press briefing in Jakarta on Thursday, February 13th. These agreements are on Indonesian migrant workers' placement abroad, including in Eastern European countries.
Untuk melihat ke belakang, tahun 2024 lalu, kita berhasil...
Looking back to 2024, we managed to make about 17 bilateral agreements in the context of the placement of Indonesian migrant workers abroad into the global market, including for non-traditional markets in the Eastern European region.
Termasuk untuk pasar-pasar non-tradisional di kawasan Eropa Timur.
Nugraha, who is the Director of Protection of Indonesian Citizens and Legal Entities at the Ministry, also said Indonesia has developed a framework for skilled workers' cooperation. Furthermore, he said that as of 2024, Indonesia had been active in global forums on secure migration and anti-trafficking, such as the Bali Process Forum and the International Labour Organization, or ILO. Nugraha even said Indonesia has pioneered talks on combating trafficking in persons caused by abuse of technology, including online scamming. Rama Sidki Pratama reporting for Voice of Indonesia.
Director General of UNESCO Audrey Azoulay invite all people to celebrate and protect radio as a powerful form of media. She stated that radio with frequencies can reach most remote locations and act as an early warning system to reduce disaster risks. In an official message on the occasion of World Radio Day on Tuesday, Audrey said that with frequencies that can travel across continents and receivers that use very little energy, radio can reach even the most remote locations and function even when electricity fails. This makes radio a unique medium in crisis situations. By acting as an early warning system, it can reduce disaster risks and save countless lives. She also added that outside of crisis situations, radio is also a prime source of information for people all around the world. Traditional forms of media are all the more important at a time when artificial intelligence is impacting the reliability and trustworthiness of the information online. Misinformation and disinformation continue to be some of the greatest barriers to climate action, making the work of radio journalists pivotal in tackling the climate crisis. Vietnam has once again reaffirmed its appreciation for Indonesia's support in its ASEAN membership journey. Vietnamese Ambassador to Indonesia Thao Van Thong emphasized that Indonesia play a pivotal role in Vietnam's global integration process. Here is the report by Ofra.
Vietnam has once again expressed its appreciation for Indonesia's support in its ASEAN membership journey. This was conveyed by Vietnamese Ambassador to Indonesia, Thao Van Thong, during the embassy's annual press meeting on Wednesday, February 12, 2025. He emphasized that Indonesia played a crucial role in supporting Vietnam's path toward global integration.
We once again would like to thank the Indonesian government and people, our brothers, for once again supporting Vietnam's membership to ASEAN. That is a turning point for Vietnam, for our international integration.
Vietnam's ASEAN membership since 1995 has opened various opportunities for cooperation in economic, political and socio-cultural sectors. To this day, bilateral relations between Indonesia and Vietnam continue to be strengthened in the spirit of friendship and regional solidarity, offer rewarding for Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesian Prabowo Subianto says that the free nutritious meal program is simple, but a significant investment in the future. Dora Pardede has the detail.
Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto highlighted two of his government's flagship program, free nutritious meals and free health checks, in his virtual keynote speech at the World Government Summit 2025 Thursday. Prabowo Subianto explained that the initiative program in his administration, the free nutritious meal, was admittedly a simple program, but it was a significant investment for the future of the nation.
Among our transformative initiatives is the free nutritious meal program. Providing a nutritious meal each day might seem modest, yet when implemented across hundreds of thousands of schools, 330,000 to be exact, from remote villages to vibrant urban centers, it becomes a significant investment in our future.
In his keynote speech uploaded on the Presidential Secretariat's YouTube account, Prabowo further explained that the free nutritious meal program targets more than 85 million children, as well as pregnant women in Indonesia. Meanwhile, the free health check program, according to President Prabowo, is an initiative to promote preventive care and early detection of health problems, foster a healthier and more productive society, and save money on health expenditures. Dora Pardede for Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
President Prabowo calls on the international community to stop violence in Gaza. Dora Pardede has the detail.
Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto called on the international community to stop the suffering in Gaza and rebuild Gaza immediately. This was conveyed by the President during his speech at the World Government Summit 2025 Thursday. President Prabowo emphasized that peace in Gaza must be ensured by supporting efforts towards a just resolution based on a two-state solution.
We must ensure peace prevails. Gaza has suffered enough. It is time to rebuild homes, reopen schools, and restore normalcy. Indonesia supports sincere efforts towards a just and lasting resolution anchored in a two-state solution.
The president further reiterated to the international community to stop the violence in Ukraine, Gaza, East Congo, and Africa to continue. President Prabowo reminded the participating countries of the World Government Summit that if the crisis is left unchecked, uncontrollable changes will threaten world stability. The World Government Summit is a high-level conference held annually by the United Arab Emirates. Held for the first time in 2013, the forum is attended by leaders from various countries along with world institutions such as the United Nations, World Bank, International Monetary Fund, experts from various sectors, civil society organizations, industry, and the private sector. For this year's meeting, the Indonesian delegation was led by Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Airlangga Hartarto. Dora Pardede for Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Indonesia continues to leverage its membership in BRICS to expand market access and global supply chains. Ranoff has the detail.
Indonesia continues to optimize its membership in BRICS to strengthen trade in investment sector. Indonesian Deputy Ambassador to Russia Berlian Helmi said on Thursday that conventional commodity trade between Indonesia and Russia is experiencing the positive trend.
Perdagangan komoditi konvensional, kita tahu bahwa itu sudah berjalan bagus, bahwa kita trennya selalu meningkat dengan Rusia untuk volume perdagangannya, macam perdagangan juga kita okay, bagus, selalu positif.
Is also okay, good, always positive.
In addition to trade threat, Helmi said BRICS also opened up border investment opportunities for Indonesia and Russia. Helmi highlighted several strategic sectors that can be developed, such as digital technology, the aviation industry, and the oil and gas sector. The Indonesian government continues to explore various opportunities so that cooperation in BRICS can bring maximal benefit to the national economy.
Indonesia continues to optimize its membership in BRICS to strengthen trade and investment sector. Pranov has the detail.
Indonesian Deputy Ambassador to Russia, Berlian Helmi, explained that BRICS can serve as a gateway for Indonesia to enter non-traditional market. Speaking at a forum organized by the Indonesia-Russia Friendship Association to celebrate 75 years of diplomatic relation between Indonesia and Russia on Thursday, Helmi stated that Indonesia has a great opportunity to both export, diversify market, and expand supply chains in a more efficient and cost-effective manner.
Dalam hal ini kita bisa membuka
in this case we can open a gap, a space where we can optimize Indonesia's export potential and then diversify the market. The second thing is to extend the supply chain. Well, this is important. So with our entry into BRICS, there is a more cost-effective extension of the supply chain. So the logistics corridors that we play here in the middle, we can be okay. We can take advantage of it.
Helmi also mentioned that Indonesia is currently working on a free trade agreement with the Eurasian Economic Union, in which Russia is a member. According to him, Russia's involvement in BRICS provides a way for Indonesia to negotiate and acquire the finalization of the agreement. The government is aiming to final the Indonesia, the Eurasian Economic Union Free Trade Agreement in the near future.
Indonesian Coordinating Minister appreciated Australian business leaders' visit. Indonesia's Coordinating Minister for Infrastructure and Regional Development, Agus Harimurti Yudhoyono, appreciated 39 Australian business leaders' visit to Jakarta on Thursday. As quoted from his social media on Thursday, Yudhoyono said Indonesia and Australia have a strong partnership and their discussions could open up opportunities for closer cooperation and real investment. During the meeting with the business leaders, he lauded Australia as a great investor in Indonesia.
Australia has been a great investor in Indonesia. Over the past decade, Australian investments in Indonesia have exceeded $4.3 billion, with annual investments surpassing $500 million. We are committed to providing greater clarity, stability, and opportunity for long-term partnerships. Looking ahead, I hope to see even more Australian businesses and investors seize the opportunities Indonesia has to offer.
According to the Australian Embassy in Jakarta, the Thursday meeting concluded the four-day visit of the country's high-level investment mission to Indonesia. The 39 business leaders are from 27 of Australia's leading investment firms and corporations. The investment missions said to be one of the largest missions Australia had ever sent to visit Southeast Asia, exploring business opportunities and meeting Indonesian prospective partners. Some stakeholders visited the Indonesia Investment Authority and Indonesia's Minister for Health, Budi Gunadi Sadikin. Minister of International Development of Canada, Ahmed Hussein, announced Canadian aid to contribute in Indonesia's development project. Andi Ramdoni has the detail.
This money will also expand the grassroots power and capacity of women's movements and organizations that are doing work in their local communities. It will equip activists with skills and resources to advocate for their rights, including on gender equality. And it will improve health outcomes for Indonesian citizens particularly in marginalized areas.
So today I'm pleased to announce that Canada is contributing an additional $10.7 million to this ASEAN-Canada Plan of Action Trust Fund. This will ensure strong regional engagement with ASEAN, and it will...
Canadian Minister of International Development Ahmed Hussein on Friday in Jakarta announced nearly $30 million in aid to contribute to the development process in Indonesia. He said that the aid was directed to improve the livelihoods of vulnerable groups, especially women and disadvantaged people.
This money will also expand the grassroots power and capacity of women's movements and organizations that are doing work in their local communities. It will equip activists with skills and resources to advocate for their rights, including on gender equality. And it will improve health outcomes for Indonesian citizens, particularly in marginalized areas, and vulnerable women and girls.
He also announced Canada's additional contribution to ASEAN. According to Ahmed Hussein, some $10.7 million is intended for the ASEAN-Canada Plan of Action Trust Fund. According to him, the aid will ensure a strong regional engagement between Canada and ASEAN and will also advance important trade negotiations.
So today I'm pleased to announce that Canada is contributing an additional $10.7 million to this ASEAN-Canada Plan of Action Trust Fund. This will ensure strong regional engagement with ASEAN and it will also advance important trade negotiations.
Ahmed Hussein added that Canada is committed to continuing to be a reliable strategic partner for Indonesia and ASEAN so that they can work together for the benefit of the people and for sustainable and inclusive economic growth. Since 2000, Canada has provided over $1 billion in development assistance to Indonesia and close to $4.4 billion to ASEAN countries. Throughout that time, both parties have charted impressive economic growth rates. And today, Indonesia has become a key market for Canadian businesses and investors, highlighting the success of these development initiatives to initiate a sustained inclusive economic growth in Indonesia. Ahmed Hussein added that Indonesia is now Canada's third largest bilateral trading partner in the ASEAN region, with two-way trade coming in at over $5 billion in 2024. Andi Romdoni reporting.
Deputy Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources, Yuliot Tanjung, revealed that the government is preparing 35 downstream projects worth around $123.8 billion, or 2,000 trillion rupiah, exchange rate of 16,283 rupiah, to be offered to investors. Yuliot on Friday said that the projects are being prepared to be offered to investors in order to accelerate downstreaming and encourage the realization of energy security as stated in Asta Cita, President Prabowo Subianto's program. In addition, in the agricultural sector, the government is also preparing an oleochemical project, which is a chemical derived from national oils and fats. With the preparation of projects ready to be offered, Yuliot hopes that the government can immediately offer them to potential investors. That's the highlight of the week, read by Ahmad Faisal. All right, listener, to accompany your activities, let's listen to the song from GAC with title Satu.
Lihat indah warna tawa beranjak, tinggalkan wajahku terlihat jejak hampa tak bermakna merampas semangat yang dulu.
aku akan bahagia bertata. Tak hirau pandangan tersimpan dalam hati dalam jiwa bersama. Untukkan
of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRE Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Okay, listener, it is the time for me to share you our VOI talk with title Free Health for All. Get started. With sourceman from Dr. Maria Endang Sumiwi as Director General for Primary Care and Community Health, Ministry of Health of the Republic of Indonesia. And another sourceman is Dr. Ngabila Salama as Public Health Practitioner, Head of Medical and Nursing Services Section at Taman Sari Hospital, hosted by Rai.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello and welcome to VOI Talk. Today we will discuss an important new initiative by the Indonesian government starting this February. About what, you might ask? Indonesia has launched a groundbreaking free healthcare program aimed at ensuring that more people across the country have access to essential medical services. And we're joined by two experts to help us understand more about this initiative. A representative from the Ministry of Health and healthcare professional who is actively involved in this program, and let's dive in and learn how this program works, its goals, and what it means for Indonesia's healthcare system. With us here in the special interview session, we have Dr. Maria Endang Sumiwi, MPH, as the Director General of Primary Care and Community Health, Ministry of Health of the Republic of Indonesia. Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
How are you today?
Fine, thank you.
So, we also have another person who is here in the Zoom call today. It is Dr. Ngabila Salama, who is actively in the Zoom call with us too, but probably right now she is not available currently at the moment. So, let's start off this topic. So, Bu Endang, Can you tell us first about the launch of the program and the recent launch of the free healthcare program in Indonesia, and what do you think about it?
Thank you. So we have just launched this program on Monday, 4 days ago, on the 10th of February. What we launched exactly is actually a free health screening program. So it's a health check for everyone who has their birthday. So it's actually a birthday gift to all citizens of Indonesia that on their birthday, they can do their health check. This is new initiatives because I think it's only about a fraction to maintain health rather than coming for treatment when you are sick. So this free screening program on your birthday. So this is what we launched on Monday. The screening program targeted all the citizens, but we have different scheme of the screening program. The first one is the birthday check. This is for under 6 years old and 18 years old and older. And those that are in the school age, which are 7 to 17 also, and also for the under 5, there is this services of monthly in the community health center. The one that we launched is really the yearly health check for all citizens on their birthday. So that is what was launched on Monday.
I see. It is really interesting because from what you said before, usually citizens go to do health checkup when they're sick. So the change of culture is actually really positive for the Indonesian because people in Indonesia like free stuff, especially in the gift program. I would like also to do a checkup. And does this program will go on until the future or just for the past years? I mean, for the next few years.
Actually, this is a start of a long-term program. Yeah, so so we would like to have it forever, and even to develop it into more checkup. But for the moment, we have quite number of list of checkup that will be able, hopefully, to prevent more catastrophic diseases. So we chose from the list of the examination that we do, we chose from those diseases that is the main or the major cause of premature death in Indonesia.
I see. So what are the most specific program that is currently undergoing the most intense routine that is happening in the program right now? I mean, like, what is the first program that the Ministry of Health is going to take care of first?
Yeah, so we designed the program based on life cycle, and we map the cause of death based on life cycle also. So we tailored the list of examination during the screening, health screening, based on life cycle also. So for newborn, we have 6 list of tests, including hypothyroid, congenital hypothyroid. So it is when you were born, but your thyroid hormone is too low, and this will cause disturbance in your development. Another one is the low level of G6PD enzyme. This is a protection for your red blood cells. And also low level of adrenal hormone. So we have, and also congenital heart disease and atresia biliar, and also growth monitoring also. And so for newborn screening, we have 6 examination. For 1 to 6, we have 8 examination. For 18 to 59, we have 19 examination, and for geriatric 60 and above, we have 19 examination. So our people, only 40% of our people is actually having a health check every year. So now we want everyone to have their health check every year, but our package is actually designed for every life cycle phase, yeah, because every life cycle phase actually facing their own health problem. So the package is actually tailored to the needs of every age group.
Okay, thank you so much, Bu Enung, for your answer. But right now, I want to switch it up and go to Dr. Nabila Salama. She is the public health practitioner, head of the medical and nursing service section at Taman Sari Hospital. How are you?
Good morning, Bu Enung.
And Ray. Hello. Okay, so Bu Enung. Maybe I would like to ask more question about the program, because there are lots and lots of application, and does the doctor that is on the field is enough for everyone to do able to do the checkup and maybe come to a different hospitals to go? Is there enough doctors right now in Indonesia?
So this is a checkup that is being conducted in our primary healthcare services, meaning the first stage of services, yeah, in the health system. So you have hospital system and you have the primary healthcare system. And we have a primary healthcare unit that is run by the government, which we call Puskesmas. Puskesmas is center for community health center, yeah. And we have 10,200 of them across the country. And from 10,200 in the most remote places, I think we only have 400, about 400 that doesn't have doctors, but they have other health workers like midwives and nurses. So the package that is being delivered for the health screening can be delivered in the primary healthcare, even when the 400 Puskesmas or primary healthcare unit that doesn't have doctors, we actually guide them on how to do it when you don't have doctors. But most of our primary healthcare unit actually have doctors to deliver the health screening program.
Oh, I see. So the program is actually well planned, because it's like a forever program, if I'm not mistaken, going to have from now on and to the future. So for listener, always make sure to do a health checkup, because if you don't get any gift from your family loved ones, you can get gift from the Health Ministry of Indonesia. Bu Nabila Salama is here in the Zoom call right now. How are you?
Nels, and good morning, Bu Enda and RRE, POE. Thank you.
Okay. So as a doctor that is currently working in the field, as a healthcare professional also, what was your first reaction about the introduction of this free healthcare program from the...
I really happy, and of course really appreciate the government program for the free health checks. And the four main goals for free health checks is to reduce disability and morbidity, avoid death, reduce health costs for the patients, for health facilities and government, and of course to improve the quality of life. And the goal realizing the peak demographic bonus in 2030 and a golden Indonesia in 2045 is of course that people need to be healthy and intelligent. And we must to increase the healthy living paradigm for the society, preventing illness and health starts with ourselves and the family. And we learned from the disaster management of COVID-19, working together, and the Pentahelix program, which is the central and regional government with the NE, Polri is the leader of the collaborations. And of course, there are private sectors like private clinics and community, academics and first media, and become very successful for management disasters of COVID-19. And of course, we are very hoped that with the existence of 10,000 sub-district health centers of our Puskesmas with fairly complete ultrasound facilities and others, they will be able to carry out the examinations of at least 300,000 residents per day in the future. and very appreciate, very happy, and citizens must be very happy to face this program and use this program correctly.
Okay, so as I heard from both of you and Bu Endang, there are 10,000 hospitals across the Indonesia, not the hospital, but the main
hospital.
Puskesmas, yes, Puskesmas. Yeah. And I would like to ask for you, and from your experience, how will this program impact the quality of care patterns and recipients? Because have any of the citizens start doing the free health checks since the programs open in February, and have any citizen tried it?
Yeah, I think this program is not very new, yeah, but we have this program, but today the program is very massive, very good, very digitalization, and we can have the data-driven policy. In the concept of the public health, there is two concepts, prevent illness and prevent complications and death. And prevent illness, of course, by living a clean and healthy lifestyle every day. But the only way to prevent death is early detection. Yeah, this is the free health check. Yeah, we can save about at least 1 million rupiah for a patient a year to be free for health checks. Yeah, and prevent illness, of course, by living lifestyle every day, but to prevent death is early detection. And once a year is the minimum time to do it, to do the health medical checkup, yeah, routine medical checkup. And this program can be detect infectious disease and also non-communicable disease, yeah, communicable and non-communicable disease, which is the communicable disease is require high cost, very high cost for the patients and health facilities and government, such as heart disease, stroke, cancer, and etc. And we must to use these facilities, yeah, a year for every patient to become the health and of course prevent death.
Just to add to that, this program start on Monday, yeah.
Oh.
This program start on Monday, and until now we have already about 82,000 people registering to the program. Now it's only the fifth day, but our data until yesterday, until the fourth day, 82,000 people already registered, meaning they want to be checked on their birthday. But this is until the next month, yeah, because you can register until the next
April,
month. But those who came already is about 5,000 to 6,000 daily. So we have already about perhaps 25,000 people already being checked, including two of our ministers.
Oh.
So in the launch on Monday, we have 19 ministers and 5 ministers who came to 19 locations of our primary healthcare to see how the program is being run by the primary healthcare. But two of our ministers, actually the Vice Minister of Science and High Education, has her birthday, actually had her birthday on 11th of January. So she said, I wanted to be checked also. So she was checked. And yesterday, our coordinating minister for human development actually has his birthday and then was checked also in our primary healthcare. So the feedback already actually very positive. We read some features or human interest story from our mass media, and we are happy at the moment with the feedback from the people. So they are actually happy accessing the service.
Yeah, I think influencer is very a big impact to citizens to use this program, like a minister and etc.
Yes, because with many social media interests, like the ministries and maybe the artists who tried the free healthcare program, will make sure get the audience to try and do the same thing. And also 82,000 people is a lot of people starting since Monday, right? There are a lot of people that do this free checkup. And, oh yeah, I would like to ask if they are want to try the program, but their birthday is like late one day. Is it still able, is it, are they still able to do it if it, if they just miss one day of their, from their birthday?
Yes, so our program is actually on your birthday, or 30 days after the birthday, you can still access the health check program. But for January, those who has birthday on January, February and March, they will be able to access the program until April. So all of this is digitalized, so people need to download the application, Satu Sehat application, and then register through the application. When they live in the remote places, no internet, no handphone, they can still come to the primary healthcare to access the service. However, for those who has access to internet and handphone or mobile phone, we recommend highly that they download the application, because it will reduce their time in the health facility, because they will, some form can be filled in beforehand, before they came to the health facility, they're already being asked some questions, and this is in the digital system, they can already already filled in, and it will reduce about 20 minutes of the time they have to spend in the health facility if they already prefill all the questions.
Okay. So,
yes.
Is there anything you wanted to add?
I'm very optimistic about the Satu Sehat mobile application, because it's replaced with the Peduli Lindungi in COVID-19 COVID-19 era. And in the COVID-19, Peduli Lindungi can be downloaded by 100 million people in Indonesia at least. And I think Satu Sehat can be downloaded in the future for more. Thank you.
Okay, so final question to Bu Endang. How do you envision this program improving access to healthcare for the Indonesian population, especially, like you said before, in rural areas with them not having the internet? Is there a possibility that it will grow and be more accessible for the Indonesian people?
Surely this program will increase demand, because people will remember when you have your birthday, then you have to have your health check. because this increased demand, then this will increase expectation. And when this increased expectation, what we want to happen is that the local government, the health worker, then become very responsive to deal with the problem of access. Because the local government wants to make their people happy, and then they want to make the program successful, because the demand is high. It's also in the number one survey of our, one of the daily, Kompas Daily, in Indonesia. Actually, the survey of the population, and the highest expectation from the people is actually the free health check program. So this is having a very high spotlight in the mind of the people, so the demand that is created hopefully also will increase access, because we need to meet the supply with the demand. So this will move also the local government, the health worker in the field, to provide better services to the people. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much, Bu Enda, for your answer. And finally, question for Bu Ngabila Salama. What do you think are the biggest challenges to ensuring this program's success in the long-term run? Because just like Bu Endang said, it will be a forever program. And how do the doctors in the field must deal with it?
Yeah, there are many difficulties for the new programs, yeah, of course, but we must to face it together. And I hope the Satu Sehat mobile application can become a super app for citizens, yeah, for citizens to view the examination history and medical records, for health facility, and of course, to government, to data-driven policy, of course. And the hope is that people who are not good, yeah, at technology in remote area, etc., can still be served, yeah, very clear and have their data entered into the Satu Sehat and the program of the government and the systems, and perhaps that they can come to Puskesmas with an only KTP or ID card and be guided to register perfectly. And also, this program is new, so the socialization is very massive. Will be more massive conventionally and digitally, yeah, involving caterers, RT, RW, yeah, and then the community, religious figures, and influencers, so that they can spread massive word to mouth to mouth to this program. And of course, we can say that health starts with ourselves and family, and we must to use this program very clear. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much, Bu Endang and Bu Ngabila, for the time to do this special interview with Voice of Indonesia. And I will always pray for the best for the Health Ministry of Indonesia and also the health of the Indonesian citizens, because who don't want to be healthy, am I right? So, well, listener, thank you so much for tuning in this special interview about the health system and the free program. Make sure to download the app, because who don't want to get gifts from the country as well, especially for your health.
Voice of Indonesia.
All right, listener, to accompany your weekend, let's listen to the song from Sheila on 7 with title Film Favorite. Alright, listener, thank you very much for your time and attention, who have already listened to our program with me, Ahmad Faisal. Thank you and bye-bye.
Jakarta. Inilah siaran luar negeri Voice of Indonesia. Siaran dalam bahasa Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia menyajikan berita, informasi dan hiburan, serta serba-serbi tentang Indonesia. Anda dapat mendengarkan serta mengakses siaran kami setiap hari di SW3325 kHz dan 4755 kHz atau melalui website www.voinews.id dan aplikasi RRI Digital. Voice of Indonesia, dari Indonesia untuk dunia. From Indonesia to the world.
Halo, selamat bergabung pendengar di seluruh dunia. Kembali lagi bersama saya Agus Antika dalam siaran berbahasa Indonesia. Hanya di Voice of Indonesia, siaran internasional Radio Republik Indonesia di Jakarta. Satu jam ke depan kita akan menemani Anda dengan informasi terkini, musik yang menenangkan dan suasana santai yang menghangatkan. Diawali dengan berita terkini dari tanah air bersama rekan saya, Sumarno. Voice of Indonesia menyampaikan warta berita. Inilah sari berita penting. Presiden Prabowo serukan hentikan kekerasan di Gaza. Indonesia tidak dukung kebijakan Presiden Donald Trump soal Gaza. Bersama saya Sumarno, inilah warta berita selengkapnya. Presiden Republik Indonesia Prabowo Subianto menyerukan kepada masyarakat internasional untuk menghentikan penderitaan di Gaza dan segera membangun kembali Gaza. Hal tersebut disampaikan Presiden Prabowo Subianto saat menyampaikan pidato secara virtual dalam World Government Summit 2025 yang digelar di Dubai Kamis. Presiden Prabowo menegaskan bahwa perdamaian di Gaza harus dipastikan dengan mendukung upaya penyelesaian yang adil berdasarkan solusi dua negara.
We must ensure peace prevails.
Kita harus memastikan perdamaian. Gaza sudah cukup menderita. Saatnya membangun kembali rumah, membuka kembali sekolah, dan memulihkan keadaan normal. Indonesia mendukung upaya tulus melalui penyelesaian yang adil dan langgeng yang berlandaskan pada solusi dua negara. Presiden Prabowo lebih lanjut menegaskan kepada masyarakat internasional untuk menghentikan kekerasan di Ukraina, Gaza, Kongo Timur, dan Afrika agar terus berlanjut. Presiden Prabowo menginginkan kepada negara-negara peserta World Government Summit bahwa jika krisis ini dibiarkan, perubahan yang tidak terkendali akan mengancam stabilitas dunia. World Government Summit merupakan konferensi tingkat tinggi yang diselenggarakan setiap tahun oleh Uni Emirat Arab. Forum yang pertama kali diselenggarakan pada tahun 2013 ini dihadiri oleh para pemimpin berbagai negara beserta lembaga dunia seperti Perserikatan Bangsa-Bangsa atau PBB, Bank Dunia, Dana Moneter Internasional IMF, para pakar dari berbagai sektor, organisasi masyarakat sipil, industri, dan sektor swasta. Untuk pertemuan tahun ini, delegasi Indonesia dipimpin oleh Menteri Koordinator Bidang Perekonomian Airlangga Hartarto. Berita selanjutnya. Menteri Usaha Mikro Kecil dan Menengah UMKM Maman Abdurrahman memastikan UMKM tetap berdaya saing di tengah kebijakan efisiensi anggaran 2025. Maman menjelaskan, sejumlah strategi dilakukan agar UMKM tetap tumbuh dan berkembang. Sejumlah langkah strategis diantaranya evaluasi program kredit usaha rakyat atau KUR dan kolaborasi dengan berbagai stakeholder. Langkah lain adalah pembentukan holding UMKM guna meningkatkan daya saing produksi lokal. Maman menambahkan pentingnya kolaborasi dengan berbagai pihak untuk memperkuat ekosistem.